Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask if you would please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Our focus will be in the first 13 verses, but I'll read the entire chapter. Again, I encourage you to continue in your devotional reading to read large sections of Scripture so that you get a better sense of what is being said. Hebrews chapter 12, this is God's Word. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with all men, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.' The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The author of this letter is giving us an image, and it's right on the heels of all the people he's described who endured so much in their quest to trust God in the midst of adversity. It's a picture of a stadium, an arena, if you will, that is filled with people watching as certain people are running. That would be an image that these folks would know well, and for most of us, it's an image that we're fairly familiar with. And you and I are in a race, every single one of us. And the race has been marked out for you. We don't get to choose the course. And our job is to run. And we have this sense from the text that surrounding us, looking on, watching our progress, are those who've gone before. People who had their own race marked out for them, their own challenges. Some of them went through amazing miracles like crossing the Red Sea. Some of them went through painful, miserable things like torture and death. And those who were in the previous chapter, it says, did not receive what had been promised. They are made complete as we experience victory in Christ Jesus. So our victory is what they're looking to see. They are not watching to see if we make it. They are cheering us on. They're encouraging us. But we've got a race to run, and therefore we can't be lazy and lackadaisical and just say, well, you know, I don't really feel like it today. This life is not an optional race. It's not a situation where some people are called to run in a race and the rest can just watch. The people who get to watch are those who finished their race. The people who are running are either running well or running badly. But we're all running in this image. And that's therefore a very instructive image. Because all of us, you're on the track. There are people who are wanting you to succeed. They are longing to see you accomplish that which God has laid out for you. And so if you're saying, well, I just don't feel like running. I just think I'm going to walk. You're not just letting you down. You're letting down the body. There's a host of folks who want you to do well. But since we need to run with perseverance, we're going to do a lot better if we will throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. It says we need to run with perseverance. We need to keep going. We need to keep after it. But it's a lot harder to keep after it if you're running a race carrying a ball and chain. Amen? And I would submit to you that not only are there sins that very easily entangle us, and anybody who says, I have no idea what that's talking about, you're just not being honest with yourself. All of us have besetting sins. All of us have tendencies and ruts that we are inclined toward. And we need to deliberately lay those things aside, throw them off. The good news is this says we can throw them off. But it's not just the sins, it's also anything that would keep us from the goal. If I were going to go out and run in a race this afternoon, I can assure you I would not be wearing this suit. Right? Now, I frankly think this is a nice suit. I chose this suit. I like this suit. But this would be a lousy outfit for a foot race. Amen? I like my shoes. But these are not the right foot gear for a foot race. I don't want, it's not just bad stuff we need to lay aside. It's anything that is going to slow us down, wear us out, distract us, hold us back from the goal. This is not about legalism. This is about winning. So this says we need to throw aside anything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And we need to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. The race has been marked out. You don't get to choose the course, as I said a moment ago. And God has marked out a course for you, and you need to embrace that and run.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. If you want to win, we need to keep our eyes on the goal. Keep our eyes on the prize. And how do we do that in this context? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You do this, fixing your eyes on Him, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. If as you are going through hardship and difficulty and you feel like I just want to quit, you can focus on Jesus and recognize what He endured in order to secure your victory, it will give you strength and courage to keep going. That's what the writer is saying here. Keep your eyes on Jesus, remembering what He did for you. You see, sometimes I feel like I'm going through a hard time. Anybody here ever go through a hard time? Some of you, from time to time. But if I compare what I'm going through with what Jesus endured for me, all of a sudden I don't feel like I'm really suffering. Amen? I don't care who you are or what you're going through. It does not compare to what Jesus voluntarily suffered for us. That changes our perspective. And that gives us endurance so that we do not grow weary and lose heart. And notice it says in verse 3, He endured such opposition from sinful men. Think of the scoundrels who nailed Him to the cross and then mocked Him. He's hanging there between 2 thieves and they're making fun of Him. The religious leaders of His day are standing mocking. He was spit upon. He was beaten. He was stripped and hung to die. And He went through that so that you could be victorious. So that you could not only be forgiven, but given his life, his righteousness, his power. So, in light of that, we will not grow weary and lose heart. And then he begins to kind of chide the folks who are getting this letter, which would include us. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Sometimes our problem seems to us so enormous. And we just think everybody everywhere ought to stop what they're doing and pay attention to what we're going through. And yet, the fact is, we have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in our struggle against sin. How hard are you fighting this thing? How big a deal are you making of it in a way that counts? Well, I really want to get over this. I really want to change my ways. I'd really like to stop this habit. I'd really like to change. Well, really? You've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. That's what he says. He says, your resistance to this thing, your struggle against sin, has not really been all that serious up to this point. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. I want you to say, the Lord disciplines those he loves. Say it again. The Lord disciplines those he loves. And he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Do you really believe that? That when you're going through difficulty, you can recognize God's loving hand in it, working for your good in order to bless you. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. So you have the opportunity when you're going through difficult times, going through hardship, you have the opportunity to take that and say, okay, I'm going to receive this as discipline from the Lord. Now, is there sometimes suffering that isn't discipline from the Lord? Yeah. Sometimes there's just straight old natural consequence, all right? But there are times when it's not. When we really were seeking to do the right thing, we were seeking to do what God told us to do, we were endeavoring to walk in obedience to the Word and to depend on Him, and then the whole thing blew up and everything seemed to go wrong and people came against us and oh, that's the devil. Well, yeah, maybe, perhaps. But, you know, God intends that. God's in charge, and He intends that to be for your good, to make you stronger. If you want to be strong, the assignments are going to have to get tougher. If you want to be strong, the challenges and the tests are going to have to be tougher. But the goal is not to give you an easy ride. That's not what a race is like. Life is real, and it's filled with challenges. And this says that when we go through hardships and difficulties, we need to accept that as being disciplined from the Lord who loves us, and disciplines those he loves. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Now that's verse 8 minus one key phrase. Look at it again. Verse 8. If you are not disciplined, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. If you're not disciplined, you're not true sons. But that's not all he says. Look at what he says. He says, if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline. Did you catch that? His point here is not to make you question whether or not you're God's child. His point is to give a context for the difficulties that you're going through. This is saying, oh, come on. Everybody undergoes discipline. When you undergo discipline, when you go through hardship, receive that as a gift from God designed to make you stronger. This is a word of encouragement. So, when you're going through difficulty, you need to endure it as discipline and realize it's an expression, of your Heavenly Father's love for you. He loves you. And then he says, verse 9, moreover, we've all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. Okay. Please get that. The appropriate response is to respect those who discipline us. To respect those who discipline us. Even though earthly parents don't always do it right. We don't always do it right. We don't always do it right. And we should be clear with our children about the fact that we don't think we always do it right. We're not pretending that I am infallible, do not question me. It's not that. I'm doing the best I can in a complicated situation where every single one of my children has a different personality. God disciplines us always for our good. In other words, as earthly parents, we sometimes get it wrong. God never gets it wrong. God never gets it wrong. As a result, when you and I are going through difficulty, when you and I are running a race and we find that what's been marked out for us is a steep climb, we feel like, is this really for my good? And the answer is yes. God never makes a mistake. He always is working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. God's at work in the situation for your good. And you need to know that. He doesn't say it's going to feel good. And it may not look pretty. But God is always at work, even in the difficulties, for your good. So, what does that good look like? Verse 10, that we may share in his holiness. Wow. Now, the rest of the chapter that we're not focusing on this morning is going to talk about that, the necessity of holiness. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But here's the thing. God is at work producing holiness in us. God is refining his children in order to make us clearly his own and like him. But no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but rather painful. And what God is giving us is not a massage. What God is giving us is discipline. And it is for our good. And by design, it will be painful. It's not just not pleasant, it is painful. There's no discipline without pain. What do they say, the trainers? No pain, no gain. It's required. It is a necessity. It is an essential. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of comfort and ease. No, that's not the goal. The goal is righteousness and peace for anyone who goes through the pain. Is that what it says? No. It says for those who've been trained by it. In other words, dear people, please understand this. It is possible to go through discipline, hardship, difficulty, pain, and emerge on the other side just as stupid and carnal as you were when you went into the process. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who are trained by it. So the question is, are you going to be trained by what you go through? Or are you going to have to take this course over and over and over again? The goal is victory. The goal is holiness. The goal is to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. But we get there when we're trained by it. We get there when we yield to it. Therefore, verse 12, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled but rather healed. In other words, you have to keep running. Because God's goal is not to disable you. God's goal is for you to cross the finish line and be like Jesus. God is calling us to victory. God is doing what it takes to produce holiness in us. And we need to rejoice and keep on running. We need to persevere with our eyes fixed on Jesus, because he is the one who has already secured the victory for us.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.